All right. Well, good morning, Champion Force North Klein. I am so glad that you guys are here today. I hope that you and your crew have had the most incredible summer so far. It's crazy to think that we are moving towards the back half of it, but I hope the front of your summer has been filled with family and friends and excitement and just time with those that you care about. I want to thank Lewis for introducing me. My name is Clint, and I serve as the pastor of Concord Baptist Church over in Northeast Georgia. But I want to assure you, I am born and bred Texan, all right? I grew up outside of Dallas, but I've served here in Houston, and it has been a great time, and I spent about the first 37 years of my life in the great state of Texas before God moved us to Northeast Georgia, where we live at the base of some of the most beautiful mountains in the world. And one of the things that I love about where God has put us is the fact that it stays between 40 and 80 degrees year round. And so I say that to say, when I got off the plane, I forgot about the heat and humidity, and it about knocked me out. But I'll say this, I am so glad to be with you guys today. As he said, I've known Pastor Jarrett for about 15 years. He has been a mentor and a leader for me. We served at church together. And then Stephen Morris, he and I kind of came up together in ministry, doing student ministry at different churches, and got to really work shoulder to shoulder. And so I am so honored that Pastor Jarrett and Pastor Stephen would allow me to be here. But I got to tell you something, church, I don't want you to ever get over the men that God has put in your life over this church, that these are men of integrity, they are men of faithfulness, and they serve out of the overflow of their own love for Jesus to be your leaders and pastors. And so don't forget the gift that God has given you in their leadership. Well, today I want to invite you, if you've got a copy of God's Word, to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And everybody just said, wait, what? All right, here's the deal. If you're new to Scripture, let me give you some directions on how to get there. It's in the left side of your Bible. You'll get Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. You know that's where Bible reading plans go to die in February. Then Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Then you'll get your 1st and 2nd. 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. 2nd Chronicles chapter 34. Now, as you find in your place there, I want to tell you, I've got three notes and three notes only for you today. And my ask of you this morning would be, would you take those down? Would you write them in your Bible, a journal, type them in your phone, whatever it is, because this is my heart for you. That this wouldn't be the one moment that God speaks through this passage to you this week. That sometime in your time alone with the Lord, you would pull back open this text, this passage with these notes, and you would pray, God, continue to teach me. Continue to reveal. Let your Holy Spirit enlighten my eyes. And you would use these foundational notes and stones alongside of your passage. And it is going to be incredible, because we're going to look at the name or a man named Josiah this morning. And there's going to be anchor points that you and I are going to be able to see that are going to guide us. You're going to be able to learn some lessons from this young man today. And so let's start out with our very first note for you to take down this morning. And it's simply this: grasp the opportunity that you've been given. Grasp the opportunity that you've been given. Grab a hold of it. Get a grip on what God has given you as an opportunity. And you may be saying, hey, Pastor Clint, what do you mean? What opportunity? I don't see any opportunity in my life. Can I tell you that God has given each one of you an opportunity to live brightly for him? Every single one of you. Now, some of you may go, man, but mine's not on a platform. Mine's not under a spotlight. My life seems so small and insignificant. How in the world do I have an opportunity? Or you may say, Clint, well, I don't want the opportunity that God's given me. I want theirs. And we spend time chasing after somebody else's opportunity. Or maybe you look at your life and you go, listen, the opportunities that I have are just shrouded in heartbreak and hurt. Can I tell you this? Some of the opportunities that we have are birthed in the valley, not on the mountaintop. And I'll tell you this from my own life, from 20 years of pastoring and just my own walk with Christ, I have learned 10 times more in the valley than I've ever learned on the mountaintop. And I bet there's some of you that have that same testimony. But let's look at the opportunity that this young man was given. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1, it says this. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David, his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or the left. Can we push the pause button right there? So check this out. When we're talking about Josiah, he is one of the kings of the people of God. And if you know anything about your Old Testament, it is just bad king after bad king after bad king. Men in their leadership who were selfish and focused on the things of the world led the people of God into idolatry. And now there's a young man. The broad stroke over his life is this, that he did right in the eyes of the Lord. That he didn't stray to the right or to the left. How many of us at the end of our lives want people to look at us and go, that was a man or woman of God who did right in the eyes of the Lord. They never strayed to the right or to the left. And let's let this text guide us in this, but I want you to pick up something from verse 1. It says this, that Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Y'all know what that means? There's a third grader in charge. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the people of God are now being led by a third grader. We're worrying about war and finances in our country. He's worried about Capri Sun, right? I mean, this is a young man who had an opportunity given to him, but can I tell you, if you study the scriptures, his life wasn't everything that we thought it to be. Even though he grew up in the palace, he grew up with status and money and all the things that the world could offer him, his home life was a wreck. Matter of fact, his dad was actually murdered, and now as an 8-year-old without a father in the home, his dad is a bad guy, and now he is leading the people of God. I don't believe that Josiah was ready at 8 years old for the opportunity that was dropped in his lap. But you got to understand this, when the Bible speaks of him, it says that he did right in the eyes of the Lord, not turning to the right or the left. So church, how do we get there? How do we look at this passage and adopt into our life and let it guide us to be people who do right in the eyes of the Lord and who don't turn to the right or to the left? Look here in verse 3, it says this, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and metal images. Let's look here. It says, in the 8th year of his reign. So how old is he? Y'all like, I didn't sign up for math this early, all right? Well, he was 8 years old. It's the 8th year of his reign. He's now 16. I mean, he's just gotten his license to drive the chariot, all right? Like, he's a junior in high school now. But what it says here is while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David, his father. You know, I did student ministry for a long time. And one of the things that I loved about student ministry was watching junior high and high school students step out of the shadow of their parents' faith. Their parents had been bringing them to church their whole life. And all of a sudden, at some point, they're like, dude, I need to own this. And they began to read their own Bible, and they began to look at the world through a biblical worldview. They began to make decisions on what they knew to be true out of Scripture. And you would watch these young men and young women begin to own their faith, no longer riding the coattails of grandma and grandpa. But here we see the same thing in Josiah, that he began to seek the God of his father David. And it says this, I love this word seek because it gives this beautiful inspiration. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, we see this word. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And I love this because the word in the Greek actually is continuing. It's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. It's this effort. It's this desire to know and to move forward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. See, I love this word, and because it reminds me of my childhood. I mean, think about this. Some of y'all know this. One of the best days in the world was grocery day, right? Because mom or dad would come home with things that were very exciting, right? Because in a house of teenage boys, food just disappeared in our house. But every once in a while, you would get a box of cereal. And I got to tell you this, Captain Crunch is not arguably, but absolutely the best cereal that's ever existed, all right? I mean, it's incredible. I love it because it has no redeemable quality. I don't know what it's made of. It's covered in sugar, tears up the inside of your mouth, but it is so good. But if you look at this, there is something missing from this box. And so for all of you that are like me who grew up in the 1900s, you know, like a century ago, what besides cereal came in the box? A free toy, a prize, right? And it could be terrible. I mean, it could be stickers, it could be a ring or something, but every once in a while, you'd get in there. And so you would open up this box and you'd try to be the first one there. So the other siblings, and you're like, I know I'm gonna get in trouble if I stick my arm in this bad boy. So you find the biggest bowl possible and you begin to pour it out. And you're looking and you're waiting and you're hoping, man, is there something inside of here? And then you see it. And you begin to dig around and you look, and then you have sought with all of your heart because this is the pinnacle of breakfast. And you have found it. And it's not a sticker. And it's not a ring. It is a Hot Wheels. For all of you 80s kids, you're like, oh yeah. And this is the greatest thing, and you have sought it, you have worked it, you have gotten up early, you are the first one to the box of cereal so that you could find the prize. And can I tell you that this kind of journey of seeking pales in comparison to our hearts chasing after the Lord? That we would seek him with every bit of who we are. Watch how this text continues. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 4 says this. And they chopped down the altars of the Baals in his presence. And he cut down the incense altars that stood above them. And he broke in the pieces, the asherim and the carved and the metal images. And he made dust of them. And he scattered it over the graves of those who sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And then the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, in the ruins all around, he broke down the altars and beat the asherim and the image into powder. And he cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. It says this happened in the 12th year of his reign, which means if he started when he's 8, in the 12th year of his reign, he's 20 years old. He's a young adult now. And after he's been seeking God, after he's been chasing after him, at 20 years old, he decides, I'm going to make a difference where I'm planted. And if you're a guy, this is a powerful passage, right? Do you see these words? It's he broke down, he cut down, he chopped, made dust of, beat into powder, and burned. Listen, he wasn't content to sit on the sidelines in his throne, but he wanted to be a part of bringing revival to the land. And listen, it's time for us, church, to stop watching our culture decay all around us. And we as the people of God need to stand up and get off the sidelines. Look at me, church. I want to remind you, we have got to grasp the opportunity that you and I have been given. But here's the second note I have for you this morning. And I love this one. And man, I hope it's like a grappling hook that just pulls your heart towards the Lord. And it's this: God's word exposes and guides us. God's word exposes and guides us. See, the word of God, cover to cover, needs to be the foundation of who we are as a people. And can I tell you what I love about your church? That your church is committed to the word of God. They're not committed to their brand. They're not committed to their amount of likes or on TikTok or views on YouTube. They're committed to the word of God. And I don't know where we went wrong as a country. I don't know where we went wrong as the church of Jesus Christ. But somehow we have been obsessed with popular opinion. We've been obsessed with giving something that is watered down. Can I tell you, it is time for the church to lean fully and wholly on the Word of God. Not just the parts that are easy. Not just the parts that are comfortable. Not just the parts that come naturally. But every single bit of it. Watch how this account of Josiah continues. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 14. It says, now while they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave that book to Shaphan. Now verse 16, Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king all that was committed to your servants, their doing. And they have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they've given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. See, as this king is sitting there and the word of God is read over him, it's been absent for so long in their nation, in their city, in their way of life. And as it's read, he is moved so deeply that he tears his clothes. Can I ask you a question, church, an honest question? When was the last time we were so moved by Scripture? When was the last time that we let the Word of God expose the most inner parts that we are trying to keep from everybody else? When have we come with more than a verse a day keeps the devil away, and we get into the Word of God and we get a plan and we let it just marinate in our lives? As a church, will we be so moved as the Scripture is read over us? Because see, God's Word exposes. It exposes us to the core, and it guides us towards that narrow road that few find. Verse 20, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Azariah, the king's servant, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers had not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in it. See, Josiah knew something. See, Josiah knew that their country had become very content with sin. They had become very numb to the heaviness of sin. They began to be, as a country, living in the gray area. Does that sound familiar to anyone? And what he knew when the word of God was read is wrath is coming against sin. And in his heart, he was so moved by this truth because the consequence of sin was made known. And God's word had authority. You understand that God's word has all authority. There's a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that I love. Many of you may be familiar with it, but if you're not and you don't memorize scripture, this is a perfect place to start. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says this, all scripture. How much scripture? How much scripture? All of it is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Church, it is time that we returned to Scripture being our foundation and our guide. Understanding the consequence of sin, the wrath and justice of God and his grace and mercy. Because God's word exposes and guides us. Now, here's the third and final point that I have for you this morning. And it's very much an action step to go, hey, I understand we've got opportunities, but we've also got the Word of God that exposes and guides us. But third and finally, step up and take the lead. So many of us have waited for someone else to lead. Church, I'm calling you this morning to action. I'm calling you to step out in courageous faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be moved to action. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 29. Then the king sent, and he gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites. And watch this, all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of God. And then the king stood in his place, and he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Church, listen to this. See, Josiah gathered all the people from the greatest to the smallest, the priests, the elders, all of them, and he read the book of the law over them. And then it says, the king stood in his place. Remember, this place was given to him by God. It was an opportunity he wasn't ready for. It was an opportunity he didn't ask for. His home was broken and struggling. And as a young man, he began to seek after the Lord, began to purge the nation of their idolatry. And now, after reading the word of God to people, he stood in his place and he made a covenant with God. And he said, God, in front of this entire crowd, in all accountability and transparency, God, I make a covenant with you that I will follow all of your commands, your statutes, your testimonies. And he says, I'm gonna do it with all of my heart and with all of my soul. See, King Josiah was all in with the Lord. But watch what happened. See, he had stepped up. Now watch him take the lead. Verse 32. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. See, he had taken this step to say before everybody, God, I'm all in. And then he invited the whole crowd. He says, will you come with me? He said, will you follow after this? God, I am committing my whole life to my whole heart, my whole soul. And watch this. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God. I mean, the people said, we want in. We want to follow God. I mean, look how close they were to revival. Church, can I tell you this? I believe we're one step away. One step away from the people of God stepping out of the shadows into the forefront, taking the opportunities that God gave them and standing up and watching what God does with several hundred people whose heart are sold out to him. Church, we've got to stop living in defeat and live in the victory that God's called us to. Look here in verse 33, our last verse, it says, and Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. And all his days, they did not turn away from following the Lord and the God of their fathers. It takes one person taking the opportunity that God has given them, standing up and saying, God, I'm all in. You want to come with me? And all of Josiah's days, the people followed after the heart of God. Can you imagine what God could do with this place? Do you understand how strategically located you are? That God could do a work here that would spread all across this state and country and the world for his name. I believe it's time for you and I to step up and take the lead. So I want to leave you with three questions this morning just to consider for you. And the first one is this: what opportunity have you been given? I don't want you to think about the person next to you. I want you to think about you. What is the opportunity that God has given you? Is it in your home? Is it at work? Is it with your friends? Is it in community? Is it a place of stature, or is it a place in the shadows? Where is your opportunity? And the second one is this. Where can you Lock in more to Scripture. Where can you seek out the heart of God in Scripture this week? Can I tell you something? Some of y'all need to mix it up. Y'all been having the same quiet time at the same place forever, and you're like, I'm consistent. And I'm like, yeah, you're on autopilot. Hey, listen, I know for us, we switched it up recently in our household, and we are transcribing, the four of us, my two teenagers, my wife and I, we're transcribing the Gospel of Mark together. You're like, what is transcribing? We write it word for word. And can I tell you what has been birthed out of that time? Sitting at the table with my 13-year-old, man, question after question, God, or Dad, what does this mean? Did you know this? Did you? And he writes faster than I do, so he's ahead of me, right? But it's opened up a dialogue for us. Now, we're not gonna do this forever, but I noticed it in student ministry when we had kids going on mission trip. We wanted to raise the bar for them. We're like, you don't just get to pay to go to another country, all right? And we would have them transcribe gospels, and they'd all start with Mark because it was the shortest. And then they'd go to John the next year, and you know, we're keeping Matthew in all 28 chapters until year 4. But what we saw is kids begin to love the Word of God. And when they loved the Word of God, their hearts were changed. Where do you need to seek out God more in your time alone with Him? And then thirdly, where can you step up and take the lead? Where can you step up and take the lead? Can I tell you, we've got the Titanic to turn here. We've got to move this thing. We need people stepping up, making an impact where God has given you opportunity. But can I tell you, none of those questions matter until you meet Jesus. Can I tell you some truth that is unpopular in many teaching tables these days? That there is one God and one God alone. And He sits in righteousness and justice. He is unrivaled in power. He alone is God. Three times holy, He is God. And you know what? Then there's us and we're not Him. At our very core, we are bent away from God. We are broken and we are burdened with the penalty of sin because of our own choices. Scripture says all of us have sinned against God. And what Hebrews says is, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. For our sin, for your sin, for my sin, something has to die. And this holy, righteous, powerful, unrivaled God sent His Son Jesus to pay our debt, to shed His blood. And if you're familiar with the story of Jesus, God comes in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, lived a perfect life, went to the cross in obedience to His Father, bled and died, was buried and rose again. And what Scripture says is anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Can I tell you, after 20 years of doing this, I'm not naive enough to know in a room like this that there's not some of us playing church. That we have gotten very good at knowing about Jesus and not knowing Jesus. Hiding behind a smile when inside filled with guilt and shame, hurt and brokenness, desperate to not be made better, but be made brand new. Can I tell you, Jesus is in the redemption business. And today may be your day. So this is what I wanna ask. I wanna ask everybody in the room just to bow their heads for a moment. Let me speak over you. If you need Jesus today, you're tired of running. You're tired of faking. You're tired of trying to carry it all on your own. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to make you brand new. That God has placed your sin on His Son who took care of it on the cross. And listen to me, I know some of you are wrestling with this, you're sweating with this, and the Spirit of God's moving in you. Can I tell you, don't fight it? Because here's what you need to understand. Our sin has consequence, and Jesus saves. There's no magic words, there's no prayer that fixes all of that. It's literally coming to the Lord, confessing your sin, repenting and turning away from your way, and leaning fully and putting your faith in Jesus Christ. If that's you today, in just a minute, we're gonna invite you to talk to one of the staff and team members here. But I bet there's some of you in here as well, you feel kind of stuck. And I might say it's because we're not being obedient. That we want what's next, we want the blessing, and yet God's saying you haven't done what I've already told you to do. Some of you need to take a step of faith and get that baptism on the right side of your salvation. Some of you need to commit to a church home, to a local body for through thick and thin, good, bad, and ugly, and you need to be a part of a body or a life group. There's some of you in here that have been carrying around a burden all by yourself. And you need someone just to wrap their arm around you and pray for you. So in this moment, as we begin to sing here, we want to give you a chance to respond with one of our teammates right down here at the front. If you need Jesus, if you need to join the church, be baptized, take a step of obedience, or you just need somebody to pray for you this morning, just to partner up shoulder to shoulder and cry out to God together for the burden you're carrying, that's what we're going to do in this moment. So let me pray over us before we sing. God, I pray that you're moving among us, that we would be a people like Josiah, that we would seek you, not living on someone else's faith, that we would begin to step up in the place that you've called us to. For those in here that need Jesus, God, I pray that you would just continue to draw them to you in this moment. For those who are burdened and wrecked by sin and hurt and medical and financial struggles, whatever it is, God, would you allow them to be prayed over? And for those that need to take steps of obedience, God, would you give them courage in this moment? Lord, we love you and we trust you and we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.